Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, indeed, the Weekend Report is on the radio, and we appreciate you listening to it.
It's my favorite show.
Me too.
I say every week.
Absolutely.
I'm a bit biased, but it's my favorite show.
That is Chris Arps. I am Tony Colombo, and joining us in studio is Carl Middleman, our new producer.
It's my new favorite show.
New interim producer.
New interim.
He's the new interim executive producer.
Till he gets a better job and leaves us like every other producer has done over the couple of years.
That's
a stepping stone.
I wasn't even here last week. I was on vacation at the lake and called in. Thanks for letting me do that while Chris was hosting. And it was Brian McKenna's last show with us.
You see the leftover tissues? I think they cleaned them up after we left.
Yeah, did it get emotional?
We went through a lot of tissues, especially Carl.
I was crying.
Yeah,
he was only here a month.
Was it that short? I thought it was at least about 6 weeks, wasn't it?
No, it was a little bit more.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But I filled in for him two of those weeks.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it was technically about a month.
Yeah, we're proud of Brian, though. We're proud of everybody who's come through here and has moved on to greener grass. Chris and I just stay.
Tony,
we just stay right here.
No. We're radio rainmakers.
Is that
kingmakers.
Kingmakers. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were just making it rain a little bit, but kingmakers, wow.
And you can still hear Brian on his radio show on our sister station, Now 96.3.
7 to midnight, I think.
Saturday night. It's on after this.
He hosts the Saturday night party over there. That's
so as soon as this show's over, you could listen to our
But then you got to come back for Skip's show, the Saturday Evening Rock
show. You can only do so much pop music.
A lot of good music to listen to on Saturday.
And I think Brian said he brings the party to your radio. I think that was the slogan he came up with.
All right. I like it. I'll take it.
Did you like it? Because you're a radio guy. Is that pretty good?
It's fine.
Okay.
We have got a very busy show for you today. I mentioned Skip Weber. He will be here next hour for the latest edition of the Weird News Challenge. Always a good time. I have a it's another special edition with a never done before category. So definitely keep it here for that. Also, next hour, we're going to talk to Tom Sullivan, a political activist, a watchdog in St. Louis County. Had a lot to do with the situation there with the open records laws, the sunshine laws. He made some news this week. We'll talk to him about that. And coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk to Lawrence B. Jones, Fox News contributor, editor-in-chief of Campus Reform, and Chris Arps, Road Dog.
LBJ, as I affectionately call him. Good guy. Be good to catch up with him and see all the things he's doing on Fox News.
Yeah, you and Lawrence go way back.
We do go way back. We go back to some harrowing days in Ferguson, a night that you remember well.
I was going to say, I know all about harrowing days in Ferguson, and we are definitely going to have a discussion about Ferguson as this weekend, yesterday specifically, was the fifth year anniversary of the shooting death of Michael Brown in Ferguson, so we are going to talk about that and where we are in this community after that and some other things about Ferguson coming up in just a minute. But first, I want to start with the national news. We had, and this will tie into what we're going to talk to Lawrence about in the next segment, all these different shooting events that we have been talking about in Dayton and El Paso and the deadly weekend in Chicago. Lawrence was up talking to a lot of residents in Chicago about that. We'll talk to him about that. And that is what was all the rage this week.
Everybody knows who Donald Trump is. Even his supporters know who he is. We got to let them know who we are. We choose unity over division. We choose science over fiction. We choose truth over facts.
And of course, Joe Biden. Go ahead.
That was the clip I picked. I didn't picked, no, you were, the clip I picked didn't necessarily go with your setup. I apologize for
Well, no, it did. It did go with the setup. Okay. Absolutely. Because
I was like, oh, that doesn't match.
Because Joe Biden and the other Democrats and people on the left have been drawing a direct line to Donald Trump for everything. That you know, what's happening at the, any deaths that happen at the border and these shootings, they have not. Not saying that the president has influenced this behavior. They're directly blaming him, saying he is the cause of these types of shootings.
What exactly does we accept truth over fact mean, though?
It means Joe has his idea of what facts are.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't line up with Trump's facts. Oh, okay. And his facts are truth. Oh, okay. So he's speaking truth over facts.
That's a lot of thinking you have to do while you're sitting eating a corn dog in Iowa at a political rally.
Well,
that's a lot of thinking to have to do.
But isn't that all we've heard from these Democrats is that everything that's bad, all the things that are happening are because of the president, and anything that could be good in this country is that they want to deliver for you is being denied to you by this president.
You know, traditionally, presidential campaigns or major elections, state elections, like for Senate and House and all that, usually begin Labor Day weekend. That's the official kickoff for presidential campaigns. But it seems like the Democrats have been in campaign mode since this president was elected with all the Russia collusion.
Yes.
We thought that that was wrapped up. But it wasn't, and Gerald Nadler has said that that he is doing formal proceedings of impeachment. They're going to keep going forward, Tony.
Yeah, this is formal impeachment proceedings. We are investigating all the evidence. We're gathering the evidence, and we will, at the conclusion of this, hopefully by the end of the year, vote articles of impeachment to the House floor, or we won't. That's a decision that we'll have to make.
What's it going to take
it's like,
for
hello,
them to realize that impeachment is not something that they are? Every time they think that the evidence for impeachment is going to come their way, it doesn't.
Yes,
but it doesn't deter them. It doesn't slow them. It doesn't tell them that maybe this is not the way to go.
For some reason, and even though the polls have said that the American people don't want the public impeachment, even though the polls said that the Mueller hearings were a disaster, they still have it stuck in their minds because they live in a bubble, but they honestly feel that the American people are passionate about impeachment and still believe this president colluded. No, I don't think so. If you look at the polls, of course not. But they live in their own little bubble on the coast, and they all listen to MSNBC and CNN and listen to these left-wing websites, and they honestly have convinced themselves that the American people want this.
So I had actually written down this quote, and I wanted to talk about it today, but Carl actually has the actual sound. I want to hear from Joe
here. I believe everything the president says and has done encourages white supremacists, and I'm not sure there's much of a distinction. As a matter of fact, it may be even worse. In fact, if you're out there trying to, in fact, curry the favor of white supremacists or any group that, in fact, is anathema to everything we believe.
He says that the president encourages white supremacists and that he curries the favor of white supremacists.
Yeah.
I understand political rhetoric and hyperbole and using it in when you're campaigning for an office, but when have we gone too far with these accusations that we're saying that a president of the United States fans the flames, was another one of his quotes this week, fans the flames of white supremacy and curries the favor of white supremacists.
Look, Joe Biden has been in politics, I think, since 1972. He knows better. He was around when there was more decorum and respect. I think this is nothing but Joe Biden trying to stay relevant. Look, what Joe Biden said was horrible, calling the president a white nationalist without any facts, without any proof. But he's just saying what Kamala Harris is saying, what Elizabeth Warren is saying, what Beto is saying, what Castro is saying.
But when is it too far?
So he has to.
When is it too far, and when does it start to turn people off? Or are we in a situation where you can't even?
I don't think it turned because we're not the audience that Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren and all them are preaching to. To the audience that they're preaching to, this is what they want. So I don't see it changing. Until they lose in November, and it's like, oh, that didn't work.
Right. All right, let's bring it back more local, talk about the anniversary of the shooting of Michael Brown. There were yesterday, and there are continuing through the weekend, a lot of memorials, a lot of events set up to commemorate the life of Michael Brown. Mm-hmm. Just big picture, how do you feel about the community, what's happened in these last 5 years as it pertains to the Michael Brown situation? Oop. Are we in a better place? Are we in a worse place? Are we just in a different place? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think?
Well, what I want to bring it to is the organization that I belong to, Project 21, mm-hmm. which is part of nationalcenter.org. We had a press conference at the Ferguson Chambers on Thursday with our co-chair, Stacy Washington, who's a familiar voice here.
Yes.
On the station. We met with the mayor, James Knowles. We met with three Ferguson council members, two black and one white. And we presented them with what Project 21 calls a blueprint for a better black America. And it's not a document that looks to assess blame or point fingers or try to relitigate the Michael Brown situation. It's a blueprint on trying to help the community heal with 10 specific areas ranging from economic development to community justice to better relations with the police. And if you were at the press conference or you see it, or hear James, it talked about how far Ferguson has come since the rebellion, per se. James said if you look at the police department, it has changed. If you look at City Hall, it has changed. If you look at the county council, the makeup of that has changed. So, of course, in any situation where there's hurt feelings and there's been a lot of hurt, it's going to take a while to get to where you truly want to be. But I think Ferguson has made great strides in the last 5 years, and I think a lot of that goes to the leadership of James Knowles.
How do you agree? James is a mm-hmm. friend of mine, a friend of the show. We've had him on many times, and I think he's a solid leader for that area. How do you think your proposal, maybe it already mm-hmm. has been or hasn't been, how do you think it has been received by the citizens, the public?
Well, we just released it yesterday at a press conference.
So too early for feedback?
I think it's too early for feedback. I think an early good indication was we had a African-American female council member, an African-American male council member, and a white female council member, which is like, I think, over half of the board in Ferguson, that came to an event like this that could have been construed as political. And we made sure to make sure people know that it wasn't a political event. This is something that we feel strongly in and want to implement these ideas. And even Mayor Knowles said that some of the ideas that were in the blueprint, they've already have kind of implemented them in terms of criminal justice reform.
So there is a segment of the citizenry, not only in Ferguson, but around the St. Louis area, that want that case revisited. Obviously, there was a lot of turmoil when the decision was made by former county prosecutor Bob McCullough to not move forward with charges against Darren Wilson, the police officer that shot Michael Brown. We know that many people, including Michael Brown's father, Michael Brown Sr., has urged new county prosecutor Wesley Bell to reopen the case. What do you guys, you personally, your group, what do you guys think that is the proper step to take, or is that?
Well, I think the county prosecutor is going to be under a great deal of pressure, especially after the press conference yesterday from Michael Brown Sr. calling for a reinvestigation. I think a lot of the social justice warrior types, Black Lives Matter, is going to keep pressure on him. Next year is an election year, not for him. But things are going to be heightened up, especially with what's going on with the president's tweets. I think that if he did open this investigation, I think that he could probably kiss his reelection in two or three years goodbye. I think he knows that.
Really?
But he's going to have to do everything that he can to try to quell this down and not open this up. He's done if he opens this investigation.
That's interesting to hear that. So where do you think the balance of voters are in St. Louis County? Is St. Louis County more Democrat than it is Republican?
Yeah. Well, no, it's more Democrat. It's been trending that way for the last few elections.
Wouldn't the left side be the one that is calling for things like reopening the case against Darren Wilson? Or you think that's a step too far even for many Democrats?
I think even for him. I mean, regardless if you're left or you're right or how you feel about the Second Amendment and guns, I think when it comes to a case where a police officer doing his job in a line of duty is gunned down in cold blood and the death penalty is automatically taken off the table, I think that affects a lot of people, white, black, brown people, because they know that could be them or that could be their loved one that they feel is ultimately denied justice because the death penalty is taken off the table.
Are you... You think we're going to be okay getting through this period of time? Do you get nervous every time we get to one of these anniversaries that some of the violence, some of the protests could sort of spark back up? Or
I would only get nervous around a Michael Brown anniversary is if we had like a police shooting that happened near around the same time and people's emotions are already kind of ginned up. But things are kind of relatively calm. In St. Louis, we haven't had a racial incident, so I think this will be a anniversary that people will commemorate, hopefully no violence or anything happens.
Another story that is both local and national is this situation with Donald Trump once again talking about wanting to communicate the sentence of former Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich. I think some people are just sort of scratch their head when this issue comes up because it's like everything that's happening in this country, and we're talking about communicating a former governor who tried to sell a Senate seat. It's interesting that that's in the news right now.
He was on Celebrity Apprentice.
They're buddies, right? Mm-hmm.
I want him to commute his sentence just for the fact that Rod didn't have any access to hair dye.
No,
while
he did not. Have you seen
and
this?
So I'm very curious to see what he looks like without
his hair.
You've seen pictures?
White as your beard.
Oh, I'd love to see it. If there's already pictures of them, keep them in there then.
You know, there are pictures of it.
That's the only reason why I wanted him out.
The hair is still as coiffed and thick.
That's amazing.
As
I'm
ever,
so jealous.
But it is it is white. It is, yeah. So
look,
he
Donald
has
Trump,
not had access to the hair dye.
Donald Trump is a media master. Look, with all every. Oh, okay.
Carl got a picture there for you.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's
it's short.
It is shorter.
And he is gray.
He's a little salt and pepper.
Him. That's a good look on
he's
him,
a
though.
Lot more salt and pepper.
That's a good look on him. He always
hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
He's been in for 7 years.
Yeah. I know. There's nothing. He looks great. I mean, he looks fine.
He's not fat.
And there's nothing wrong with the hair. It's just you're so. His hair was like his thing.
He looked like to me like a human marionette.
Yeah, so
just
when you
the high cheekbones
so much,
and the big hair, he just looked like a marionette.
He looked like a politician.
But anyway, getting back to Donald Trump, I think it's expert what he is doing. It throws people off all of this racism, all that stuff. That's what they're going to be talking about is him possibly pardoning Rod Blagojevich. And also, too, he can always say, look, I'm bipartisan. I pardon a Democrat. Yeah. And it just throws so much more into the mix and confusion, and that's what the president does.
So there's a couple things that I want to say about this
issue. Is Skip in the hall?
No, he's not. Okay. Too early.
He's not here for
too
another
early.
Hour.
Yeah, it's very early. Two things. What I believe and a conspiracy theory that I could buy into that I don't necessarily believe yet. what I believe is that this is just another example of this president doing whatever
he wants.
He thinks of at the time and whatever he wants. Yeah. It doesn't matter to him that Rod Blagojevich was a Democrat. He thinks that Rod Blagojevich doesn't belong in prison. He thinks that the sentence was too harsh.
But there's also a reason behind it. He's just not doing it for the hell of it.
I'm getting to that.
Okay.
So, but I think it's another example of, you know, Democrats like to paint this president as being some kind of uber conservative, ultra right person, and he really is not.
Look at his past.
He, yeah. I mean, you know, talking about communicating a corrupt Democratic governor, talking this week about things like red flag laws and, you know, video games are causing violence. Things like this are not things that you hear typical hardcore conservative Republicans say. I think a lot of Democrats don't realize how, or just don't want to admit how much he is not those things. He is not this staunch, hardcore Republican. And he's a guy that just does what he wants to do, what he thinks is right, and that's it. And well, and sometimes he doesn't even really think it through.
But there's another thing in here, Tony.
Go ahead.
He's supposed to serve, since it's a federal crime, he's supposed to serve 14 years. He's already done 50%. But federal, there's no parole with federal crimes. And legally, he has to serve 85%.
Correct.
So he's not there yet.
Right.
And so if he
gets... But the president's pardoning power doesn't supersede that?
It would. And I wonder if that also means... Because he was also barred from running for office again. And if he gets pardoned, does that wash that away too?
He's not pardoning. He's commuting the system.
Communicating?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, which is different.
Commute the sentence.
Yeah, and I think would mean that he would still not be able to run. But... To your point, I said there's two things, one I believe and one conspiracy theory that I could be convinced about, and I think that's where you're going, Chris, is because this has been brought up before. He's talked about Rod Blagojevich before. Mm-hmm. This is not the first time he's done that, but he didn't take action a year or so ago whenever he talked about it the first time. I could understand this thought process, and let me know if and maybe this is what you think is all exactly right. What's happening, is that he keeps these kind of things in his back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that will grab attention. Mm-hmm. So he waits until till the heat is on.
Yeah.
We had these shootings and everything, and you know, and it's hot. And then he knows that if he says, I think I'm going to commute the sentence of Rod Blagojevich, he can just immediately turn the news cycle and make that the discussion instead of mass shootings.
I think
think that's what he does?
A distraction?
I think that's exactly what he does, and I think also, and I don't know why, but I think he could be signaling to people that, hey, you know what, I don't care about controversy. I pardon whoever I want.
It nice wouldn't be a pardon.
Or I commute, or I pardon whoever I want.
Yep,
that's always something, a good thing to have out there. I'm not worried about the controversy of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like your conspiracy theory, though.
Right? Yeah. No, I think there could be something to that. It's funny because the same people that say that Donald Trump is this big oaf and he's dumb and he's, you know, he's just not a smart man and he acts on impulse are the same people that will say he's a mastermind of controlling the media. It's like you can't be both. You can't be a political, you can't be a media mastermind that knows how to do and
a doofus.
Too dumb. Yeah. To not act on every impulse.
Donald Trump.
You got to pick one. Which one is it?
Donald Trump's biggest weakness is he has no impulse control.
Right.
If he had some kind of impulse control, he'd be an absolute genius.
Yep.
But that's his Achilles heel. No impulse control.
Last thing really quick because we only got about like a minute. And this is something we'll talk to Tom Sullivan about in the next hour. It was announced this week by County Police Chief John Belmar that... county police are getting body cameras by April. 700 of the 950 officers will have body cameras. All 350 marked police cars will have cameras. Is this a good thing and long overdue?
Yeah, I think it's always good when you have some type of measure of accountability for the police, which body cameras protect the police and they protect the suspects. So
they
I think it's a good thing.
That's the one thing I did not understand.
Yeah, they can turn it off.
Yeah.
They can't turn it off. They can mute the sound, though, under the guise of if it's a sensitive conversation that they don't want anybody to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
But who's to say that?
I think sometimes suspects will ask them, like, if
turn
they're
it
having
off.
A sensitive conversation, can you please turn that off?
Yeah. So, I think it's a good thing.
But you're right, Carl. If all of a sudden something seems to be going down and all of a sudden the sound is muted,
right.
That doesn't look good for the police officer.
I think that's a really big red flag
for
the prosecutor.
But they also don't have control of it. It's automatically uploaded to the cloud. And all of this was paid for. Prop P.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Which is why the city doesn't have it.
And that's one of the good things that Steve Stinger wanted credit for, so he wouldn't get a
It all comes back to Stinger.
Yeah, did you see one of the things he was asking for a lighter sentence was because of his service of
Prop
all
P.
the good things he did?
He got Prop P passed. And he gave $130,000 back of the money he looted.
Yeah, did you see what the federal prosecutor said about that? That, like, it's not, that doesn't even come
close
to repairing the damage that you did to this county. All right, we got to take a break because ready to join us on the phone, Lawrence B. Jones from Fox News and Campus Reform. Lawrence has been very busy. As Chris says, he's one of the hardest working men in the media. He's got a couple shows, I think, on Fox Nation and Fox News. And, of course, he's the editor-in-chief of Campus Reform. You can't turn on the television without seeing Lawrence B. Jones these days. And he spent a lot of time in Chicago this past week talking to the people on the streets there. It's going to be good stuff. Go ahead.
He's a Texas homeboy, too.
And you're a road dog.
Yes, my Texas homeboy road dog.
You don't want to miss it. Lawrence Jones is next on the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps in studio. And as we mentioned in the last segment, joining us now, we are excited to talk to Lawrence B. Jones, of course, editor-in-chief of Campus Reform, Fox News contributor. These days, Chris, you can't turn on the TV without seeing Lawrence B. Jones.
I don't think it's an understatement to say that Fox News, that LBJ, as I affectionately call him, is Fox News' newest star.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Lawrence, we appreciate your time today. How are you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate y'all's kind words. You know, me, Chris and I go back from the very beginning when I was in St. Louis recording film on my cell phone with my little stand and all that, and it was making national news during that time. Just a little kid trying to fit in where you get in.
Hey, that's the grind.
That's right.
That's putting in your time. We've all done that. That's great stuff, man. That means that your background is legit. I love to hear those kind of stories. And so let's just get right into it. So this week, obviously, shootings were everywhere in the news. It was everything everybody was talking about, whether it be Dayton or El Paso or the weekend, a couple weekends ago in Chicago, where they set the record with 57 or 59 shootings, whatever that number was. And I know that you had spent some time up in Chicago talking to people on the street. That's kind of like our beginnings, right? Being on the street.
That's right.
Talking to real people about what is happening in their community. And you made a lot of news for what you did up there in Chicago. Can you just kind of talk about that experience and what you learned while you were up there?
Yeah, you know, everyone this week talked about Dayton and El Paso in my home state of Texas, and the national outrage, as it should have been, because American citizens were murdered in cold blood. But there was another story that the media, quite frankly, ignored, and I mean the national media, and that's Chicago.
Yeah.
59 people were shot, 7 people were killed. It was the deadliest shooting this year in Chicago. And the media was utterly silent on it. And I wanted to talk to the residents of Chicago because so often they are treated like the stepchildren of America because this stuff happens every single day and no one says anything about it. And these people are not loyal to political parties, quite frankly. They just want someone that's going to come down there and actually shine a light on what's happening. So I went on the ground and talked to them. And, you know, most of the people there on the ground were afraid to talk on camera on the south side of Chicago because they were afraid that they would be murdered just like the rest of the people. But, you know, it's a town that is quite corrupt. You know, city officials are more concerned about themselves. There has been bad apples, not all the police department, but there has been bad apples in the police department there. In any corrupt city, quite frankly, it doesn't skip any area there. And so the people were frustrated and they're hopeless and they want someone that's going to come down there and speak to them. And so, you know, the narrative has been from my friends on the right that it has failed Democratic leadership. And that is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. But I always tell them, what is going to be the response? Because, you know, it's one thing to say the Democrats have failed, but where have the Republicans been on this? Have exactly. they been on the ground trying to flip things? And when the president talks about the forgotten men and women in this country, there's no one that has been forgotten more than these liberal cities that are in the black urban communities, because you have one political party that has the control and they've done absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And then you have one political party that just won't show up because they don't feel like they can get the vote. And so I'm calling Republicans, conservative libertarians to get on the ground, talk about the free market, talk about this economic agenda. President Trump, what do you do well? You build buildings. Go down there and talk about financial literacy and build buildings there. And that's just been my message to the right.
You know, Lawrence Chrisarps, it's very important, one of the lines that you said, and you said that when you were interviewing the residents on the South Side of Chicago, they were not particularly loyal to a political party. And I've been saying that for years, and I've always felt that those areas have been a ripe, fertile ground for outreach. You know, one thing that I'm curious, when you had your cameras down there in the South Side of Chicago, what type of response did you get from people when you told them you were from Fox News?
Oh, they were like, oh, man, you work for Fox News. But they still wanted to talk. You know, they were more concerned that a brother took it out, came down there and took it out of his time to actually cover the story. I think most of them, honestly, were surprised. Mm-hmm. But if you've been following my covers for Sean Hannity, I've been going to all the liberal cities. He knows right. that it's a passion of my heart. It's a passion of his because I said, Sean, we got to do something about this. He agrees that we need to do something about this. And I'm going to continue to cover all of them. I've been to Detroit, Baltimore, next up, Philly. You know, I'm L.A. I've gone to all of these failed liberal cities to talk about, you know, all this money is going through these cities. They're not poor. The leaders aren't poor. There is development there. But why isn't it hitting the black community? And that's the question liberals have to ask themselves. And Republicans got to ask themselves, with such an agenda of ours, why haven't we been on the ground?
And, you know, Lawrence, I think that is much more effective. What you're doing is going into the community with the camera, interviewing the residents, letting them get their opinions out and let them basically say what Donald Trump is saying in kind of a not exactly politically correct way. But the people are open to the message. And I think your really great video series that you did in Chicago just really, really exposed that.
I appreciate it, brother. Yeah, you know, one thing I love about the field is that people get to talk for themselves, right? I just set up the questions
right.
and I let them go because the story is not me. The story is them. And there has been this narrative that the president is so unfiltered in the way he delivers things. But quite frankly, when you talk to the people, their words are worse because they're there on the ground. And we got to stop trying to make a bad story pretty, right? The media wants to paint this picture that in these cities that everything is peaches and cream. And that's just not the reality there. And so we got to stop sugarcoating the message there and allow the people to tell their stories. And quite frankly, the reason why they don't want this dramatic reaction to this is because they are put on notice that this has been happening for years under the Democratic failed leadership. And they have to really ask themselves, why have they carried the water of these people for so long?
That is a great question, and I wanted to sort of expand the conversation in that exact direction. We're talking to Lawrence B. Jones from Campus Reform and Fox News. We have talked, Lawrence, on this show a lot with not only Chris, Burgess Owens is a regular on the show here, and I'm sure you know Burgess and his message as well. And we talk about how much power the African-American community around the country has as far as the influence that they could have on a presidential election. If just 25% of the African-American vote were to switch sides, go to the Republicans, that would be an absolute game changer. So you mentioned earlier about some of the failings of both parties, the Republicans not reaching out enough, and obviously right. the liberals just not taking care of people that they just, I think, take for granted that will always be there for them. How do you think across the board the African American community's relationship is with the Democrats? Are they looking to leave, and all the Republicans need to do is show some interest and they are ready to abandon this party, or are the roots so deep that some people don't even have the conversation, they just automatically vote Democrat?
Well, I think most people in the black community are frustrated with both political parties. I think that when it comes to the Democrats, that they look at it as the only option. Either they vote for the Democrats or they don't show up. So you're faced with that. And, you know, there's a lot of cultural issues that, you know, black people are conservative. I mean, if you go to the basic family, they are strong conservative people. But many times conservatives don't talk the language of black people. What do you mean when you say that, Lawrence? For example, a lot of people in my community love hip-hop, right? It's a part of the culture. Music is a part of the culture there. But I see conservatives all the time bash it. Whereas, you know, when I look on the conservative side, a lot of people like country. I cannot stand country. I cannot stand country music. But I know my audience on the conservative side love country, so I'm giving it a shot. I've listened to some more soulful things, and because that's the way they communicate within the movement. And so you can't say that you care about people, right, and then bash their culture in that same breath. And so there's a communication flaw when it comes to the right, because when you're talking about living out conservative principles, oh my God, it is there in the community. But if we can just repackage our message, and it's shocking to me, because I thought President Trump had the best shot to do that.
Yeah.
And the reason why is he's been around black people his entire entertainment career, right? You see them all at the parties. You see all the rappers have Donald Trump in their lyrics, because everybody wanted to be the black Donald Trump, right? And so when he became the Republican nominee, he shifted his message to more of the mainstream Republican talking point, when he can just basically talk to black folks as he's always talked about it, and that's finances, right? If you really want to rescue the community, you talk about money. You talk about their kids and school choice and things that affect them on a day-to-day basis. If the president does that and show up, walk the street, adopt the city, right, go to Baltimore and say, I'm going to redevelop this entire side of the community. This will be the model for the country. He does that, it changes the conversation, because the black voting bloc is the most powerful voting bloc in the country. Yep. Because what the majority, it will never be a 25%. It's either going to be 80-20. Or it's going to be 2080. We vote as a block.
That's passion,
and that's why it's so powerful. Yeah.
That's passion,
Lawrence. I know we got to let you go. I think Chris has one more quick question, but don't want to even get into this whole topic. Just yes or no, because this has been the talk that everybody's asking and talking about. Do you think that the president is a racist person? Yes or no, and then I'll let Chris ask his question.
I don't think that the president is a racist.
Okay,
and I think he's an equal opportunity. He goes out to everybody.
Yes.
Like, for example, he left the military. Yep. But when John McCain said something that offended him, he said, look, I actually don't like people that get captured.
Right.
That's the way he swings. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying the president doesn't care who you are. He looks at people in two categories, friend or enemy.
And here's my question. This is a really hard-hitting question, but who is your favorite five co-host?
Oh, I can't do that.
He's not going to do that. He's not going to.
Hey, promote all those shows you're on. Then we let you go.
Yeah, talk about all the places that people can follow Lawrence B. Jones.
You can go to Twitter at Lawrence B. Jones 3. I'll say this. Dana Perino is one of my mentors. She helped me along the way.
That's cool.
In there, and so I definitely look, but I love all my co-hosts I get to serve with.
We're just trying to break some news here on Weekend Report.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Love you, brother.
Yeah.
Let's catch up soon.
I love you back, bro. All we right, will man. Do.
That is Lawrence Jones. We hope to have you back again soon. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. All right, we got to take a break, and we will be back with more Weekend Report. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. Another big thank you to Lawrence B. Jones for joining us in that last segment. If you missed it, download the podcast for free on our website or the radio.com app. Great stuff there from Lawrence Jones. Joining us now on the phone, one of the great sponsors of this radio station and this show, Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC, is taking a couple minutes out of his day to give us a call, and we appreciate it. Brian, thanks so much for calling. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me on again, Tony.
You bet. Happy to. Want to get right into it. One of the coolest things that about Eggers HVAC, and I think I've said this before, proof of dedication to customer service and making sure that your customers are very comfortable and informed whenever they use your service is the mobile showroom that you built. That if somebody is looking to put in a new HVAC system, you will show up to their house, park this thing in front of their house so they can go in it and see the different options, see the different HVAC systems that you guys offer. They can hear them and how loud they are. They can operate them inside the mobile showroom so they, get comfortable with how they work. And you can explain, they get to touch, feel, and operate these things before they get put in their house. I've never heard of anything like that before. So I understand the inspiration behind the mobile showroom, but talk about if you are looking for a new system right now. We were just talking off the air about not only all the things that you can all the things that it can do for your utility bills if you get a new HVAC system, but also the specials that are happening right now for a new system. Can you talk about some of that stuff?
Sure. So right now there's still utility incentives from Spire Gas or Spire Energy and Ameren, as well as manufacturer rebates. So typically what we're seeing in our business is that customers are selecting high efficiency equipment that is cutting their electric bill, and I'm going to say typically in half. And with that, they're getting incentives of $2,125 back from manufacturer and utility companies. So it's a pretty good time to buy and start saving money.
Very good. And if somebody's not ready to put in a whole new system, if they haven't had somebody come out professionally and take a look at their current system, that's also something that really they should do, because maybe they're not going to save half like they would with a new system, but sometimes you guys can come out and just make some minor tweaks that can really save people money. Correct?
For sure. Yeah, we've had customers who we'll call on a hot day and I think my system's, something's wrong with it. It's not keeping up and it's not been a problem. And we'll go out and we'll find something as simple as the wrong kind of air filter. You know, people, it's probably the Achilles heel of this industry is people typically think they're buying a great air filter because of advertisements or whatever the case may be. And many times those filters might catch a lot of dirt, but they're so restrictive that they end up starving the system of air. And you may run your air conditioning 15 to 20% longer, which drives your bill up maybe $30 to $40 a month just because you have the wrong kind of air filter in there.
Mm, that's amazing. About 1 minute to go. Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to say, you know, my wife and I, we had to buy a new heating and cooling system from Brian. And, you know, it's not the kind of money that you want to spend. But I can tell you, the system that we got, I think it takes the humidity out of the air and just keeps the house cool. I mean, it's 77, 78 degrees in the house, and I'm freezing. And
yeah, and what was your set point before that?
Oh, it would probably be 71, 72, somewhere around.
Wow, that's amazing.
There. And we have seen a decrease in the bills so far, and we've only had the system maybe about 3 months.
Excellent.
That is absolutely incredible. Brian, if people do want to learn more about new systems, if they want to book the mobile showroom to come out to their house or just want to book a service call, what are all the best ways to get a hold of Eggers HVAC?
Well, you can find us on Google, on Facebook. You can call our office at 636-681-1976. And, of course, you can find us online at Call Eggers. That's C-A-L-L. A-G-E-R-S, calleggers.com.
Very good. Calleggers.com for all of your HVAC needs. Brian, thanks so much. Go back to your trip, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for your time. All right, we got to wrap up hour number one, but hour number two of the Weekend Report is getting ready to start. Don't miss it. You're listening to FM News Talk 97.1.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.